The NBA Finals.
Hearts are racing, heads are pounding.
No time to rest, no time to look away.
It's unbelievable.
Because in the finals, everything changes.
Oh, it's good!
Fate collides with destiny. Today's stars become tomorrow's inspirations. And four wins turn the end of a season into the start of a legacy. The NBA Finals begin June 1st on ABC. The NBA Finals.
Hearts are racing, heads are pounding.
No time to rest, no time to look away.
It's unbelievable!
Because in the finals, everything changes.
Oh, it's good!
Fate collides with destiny. Today's stars become tomorrow's inspirations. And four wins turn the end of a season into the start of a legacy. The NBA Finals begin June 1st on ABC.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/post. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/post. That's ZipRecruiter.com/post. ZipRecruiter.com/post.
Hello, everybody. I'm Ed Robinson, and welcome to another exciting edition of The Robinson Show. On the program, I have Nick Agar-Johnson. Nick is the host of the No Ceilings NBA Deep Dives podcast, an editor-in-chief and writer for No Ceilings NBA, and writer for Hashtag Basketball and Nets Republic. On the program, we preview the 2023 Eastern Conference Finals and Western Conference Finals matchups. In addition, we discuss the Ja Morant situation. Nick is coming up after the break. Stay tuned. You're listening to The Robinson Show.
You don't need to be a lawyer to benefit from a legal education, especially in risk management. At Texas A&M School of Law, we built our online Master of Legal Studies specifically to give non-lawyers like you a competitive edge. With a focus on risk management, you'll gain a better understanding of the legal complexities fiduciary management, corporate governance, and other heavily regulated industries face. Get the legal skills it takes to get ahead at Texas A&M School of Law. Visit law.tamu.edu/MLS to learn more.
Thanks for switching lanes to Raising Cane's.
One box combo, please.
That's 4 juicy chicken fingers you won't be skipping, and our secret cane sauce you want to keep dipping.
Wow, that was fast.
Raising Cane's chicken fingers, one love.
Thanks for switching lanes to Raising Cane's.
One box combo, please.
That's 4 juicy chicken fingers you won't be skipping, and our secret cane sauce you want to keep dipping.
Wow, that was fast.
Raising Cane's chicken fingers. One love.
Thanks for switching lanes to Raising Cane's.
One box combo, please.
That's 4 juicy chicken fingers you won't be skipping, and our secret cane sauce you want to keep dipping.
Wow, that was fast.
Raising Cane's chicken fingers. One love.
Modern life is noisy. Noise is everywhere. Excessive noise is harmful, linked to sleep deprivation, hearing loss, and heart disease. Should noise be the price we pay for progress? Actually, no. Many noise sources have quieter options. Gas-powered landscaping equipment is obsolete, with battery-powered options greatly reducing noise and air pollution. Audible car alarms are obsolete, with vehicle immobilizers and GPS tracking providing silent anti-theft technologies. Quieter backup warning sounds are available, and adjustable directional sounds are less intrusive. So what can you do to reduce noise levels? Talk to store and building managers about safe sound levels. Work with elected officials and the police to strengthen noise enforcement. Join Noise Free America, a coalition to promote quiet.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. The NBA playoffs are heating up, and they've been on a roll since the beginning. And now we have approached the conference finals. That's right. We have our matchup set up in the Eastern Conference Finals and the Western Conference Finals. In the Eastern Conference Finals, we have the Miami Heat going up against the Boston Celtics. In the Western Conference Finals, between the Los Angeles Lakers and the Denver Nuggets. To preview these conference finals matchups, let's welcome him back to the program. He is the host of the No Ceilings NBA Deep Dives podcast. He's an editor-in-chief and writer for No Ceilings NBA and a writer for Hashtag Basketball and Nets Republic, Nick Agar-Johnson. Hey, Nick, welcome back to the program, my man.
Ed, thank you so much for having me. It's been, as you said, a fantastic playoff ride so far, and we've got two incredibly interesting conference finals, so really looking forward to chopping it up with you today about them.
Absolutely. You're right about that. And again, thank you so much once again for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us on the program. Before we preview the Eastern Conference Finals and Western Conference Finals matchups, I want to begin with talking about Ja Morant. We know that Ja is one of the rising superstars in the NBA. Unfortunately, 2 months ago, he was suspended by the Memphis Grizzlies in the NBA for holding a gun as a result of the incident that had taken place in the nightclub in Denver right after the Nuggets lost at the beginning of March. He goes through the rehab and the counseling in Florida, and he had a power eight spot that was supposed to play during the NCAA tournament. That was removed due to the situation that happened the first time around. Well, it happened again. This time it happened with an Instagram live video that was posted by one of his so-called friends on his, and it showed Morant flashing a gun second time around. So now the Memphis Grizzlies have suspended him from all team activities until further notice. Give me your thoughts on the Ja Morant situation. I mean, with all of his talent, Nick, and the potential, I mean, he's already lost a lot of earning potential, missing out on an extra $40 million this year for not making an all-NBA team, and then plus he's missing out on endorsements that are outside of basketball. Give me your thoughts on Ja Morant.
Honestly, it just makes me sad. This guy has all the talent in the world. He's one of the best young basketball players we have. He was set to be one of the faces of the NBA, and he's just, you know, he went through the whole incident earlier in the season and, you know, publicly apologized that he was going to counseling for it, and then just did the same thing again, basically, you know, shortly after his off season began. And it just makes me really sad. I mean, on the one hand, you know, there are professional athletes and NBA players who have done legitimately awful things. And Ja Morant has, you know, not done any, I'm not going to name any names for obvious reasons, but, you know, Ja Morant has not done anything truly awful the way that some professional athletes have. And yet this was such a, it just feels like it was such an easy situation for him to avoid, especially given how the situation played out earlier in the season with his previous firearm incident. It just, man, it just makes me really sad because he's so much fun to watch, and he was clearly set to be one of the faces of the NBA, and, you know, now he's been suspended from the Grizzlies indefinitely. You know, we don't know if there's going to be an NBA suspension beyond the Grizzlies suspensions. We don't know how long he's going to be suspended by the Grizzlies for this, but, you know, it was the kind of thing where he, you know, was publicly saying that he was making steps in the right direction, and then we see, you know, this video hit Instagram Live, you know, very shortly after the Grizzlies season ended. It's just sad. I just would love to see Ja Morant playing basketball and doing the incredible things that he can do on a basketball court. And, you know, again, it's a situation where there are so many things that professional athletes have done that make this look like absolutely nothing. And yet this was also something that Ja Morant had been, you know, told about in no uncertain terms that this was going to be an issue if it continued. And yet here we are again having a very similar conversation to the one that we were having a few months ago as sort of an NBA consensus about Ja's just not going to be playing basketball for a while next season. And it sucks because this is something that I would like to think could very easily have been avoided. And yet, you know, it's the kind of thing that is going to hang over his career now at this point. You know, I think if it had just been the one incident and then, you know, he makes a public apology and moves on, nothing else comes out, I think this story gets, you know, washed under the rug. But because this is something that's now happened multiple times and the Grizzlies have suspended him indefinitely, there's, you know, a question about just how much jeopardy his career is in. And for someone who looked to be one of the bright young rising stars of the NBA, you know, it wasn't supposed to be that way. We weren't, you know, there was no reason to think that we would be questioning, you know, John Morant in terms of anything other than, wow, this is one of the best basketball players in the league. Just how good is he? Now we're having this conversation, and it makes me sad. It really does, because, man, he's so much fun to watch, and I don't know when we're going to get to watch him again on the NBA court.
He is fun to watch, and he's been one of our favorite players since he's been in the NBA for such a short amount of time, and we've chastised him for the mistake that he made the first time around, but we also gave him grace and mercy, and we wanted him to win. I still want him to win, but, man, like you said, it's looking very murky, and with the Memphis Grizzlies taking the first step of suspending him indefinitely, and we'll just wait whatever comes down from the league offices with Adam Silver and with the NBA and things of that nature. But Ja Morant, man, just another tragic case, man. Someone so promising with great talent and unfortunately having to face these demons again, man. Hopefully he can get another shot at it. And in the meantime, speaking of another shot, here we are, the conference finals. And let's start off with the Eastern Conference Finals, a rematch of last year's thrilling seven-game series, the Miami Heat going up against the Boston Celtics. I want to start off with talking about the Miami Heat for a moment, Nick. So we know about head coach Eric Spoelstra. He's not new to this. Multiple NBA championships. And then you also have to look at the other players on the team for the Miami Heat, Bam Adebayo, defense and rebounding, getting the points, doing the dirty work. Max Strus has been outstanding in this playoffs. Duncan Robinson is getting it together. How about the resurgence of Kevin Love? Kyle Lowry has been nice coming off of the bench as well. And how about Jimmy Butler, a.k.a. Jimmy Buckets? I mean, you talk about toughness personified. Jimmy Butler is that times 10. Just give me your thoughts on the Miami Heat in being in the Eastern Conference Finals.
This is very interesting to me because, you know, last season when, you know, the Heat and the Celtics matched up in the conference final, it was a very different ballgame. I mean, they were the top two seeds in the Eastern Conference last season. And, you know, this season the Celtics were once again the second seed in the Eastern Conference, but Miami had to get in through the play-in. You know, this is a team that was 33-31 a few games after the All-Star break, and it was, you know, unsure if they would even be in one of the top two play-in seeds, much less, you know, making it all the way to the Eastern Conference Finals. So it's very interesting. This is a key team that certainly had their ups and downs throughout the season, but ultimately a lot of that was due to health, and it's not exactly as if the Heat are at perfect health right now. I mean, Tyler Herro is out, you know, going to miss the series, maybe could be back by the end of the finals, but probably not. You know, he's going to miss quite a bit of time. You know, he probably won't come back until, you know, maybe even partway through the finals at best. And Victor Oladipo out for the season with the torn patella tendon. I mean, they're not healthy, fully healthy right now, but they're a lot closer to fully healthy than there were many times throughout the season. So, you know, this is a Miami Heat team. You know, Jimmy Butler has been absolutely spectacular in this year's playoffs, as he seems to be pretty much every playoff that we get. Jimmy Butler going up another level or two or three. But ultimately, I mean, this is a Heat team that is absolutely an underdog. I mean, you know, I don't think if I'm remembering correctly, I don't think a seventh or eighth seed has made the finals since the eighth seed New York Knicks in the 90s. And, you know, this is a Heat team that, man, I mean, it's not the same, you know, team that sort of led for much of the year last year, you know, top of the Eastern Conference much of the year last year. And yet here we are again, you know, same story. The Heat clearly got it together in the playoffs and the Celtics held serve, but this is not a Heat team that, unlike last year, I think I would have expected, or many people would have expected, to go this far in the 2023 playoffs.
I don't think anybody was expecting that either. As you mentioned about them being in the play-in tournament, losing that first play-in game, but redeeming themselves and beating the Chicago Bulls in the play-in tournament and then becoming the eighth seed. And no one expected this at all, but Miami got hot at the right time. And so the Heat, they punched their ticket again to the Eastern Conference Finals for the second year in a row. Let's talk now about the Boston Celtics. So the Boston Celtics went through their changes during the offseason, of course, with the Ime Udoka situation. Joe Mazzulla started off the year as the interim head coach, and now he became the full-time head coach of the Boston Celtics, getting a contract. And Jaylen Brown earlier in the year said that he didn't know what his future held in Boston. There were questions about that, but it seems that he's right now in good standing about being a member of the Boston Celtics. And on the defensive side, Al Horford, Robert Williams, Grant Williams, we know what those guys are capable of. And how about Jason Tatum? In the playoffs, Jason has been all money. Give me your thoughts on the Celtics.
Very interesting because, you know, you mentioned the Joe Mazzulla situation, but, you know, this Celtics team as a whole, it's interesting because they, you know, they had some of their biggest struggles, you know, right around the All-Star break. I mean, you know, they won their first two games out of the All-Star break, and then they lost four of their next five. And, you know, especially given that this was a team that, you know, was 18-4 and 21-5 to start the season, you know, it looked like they might be a team that, you know, was starting to, you know, fall apart down the stretch is strong because they were still very good down the stretch, but they were not anywhere near as just spectacular as they were the first half of the season, which is kind of funny because that's almost the reverse of the Celtics team last year where they were kind of middling until January and then just absolutely turned on the rocket boosters after that. So, you know, it's a very interesting situation in that they kind of had mirror seasons in that way, which, you know, would have made it easier, I think, for people to assume that, you know, okay, they're not hot at the right time, right? You know, unlike last year's team that was blazing hot, you know, down the stretch of the season and carried that, you know, into the playoffs. This is a team that, you know, they did win their last three games and, you know, five of their last six. It's not like they, you know, closed out the season ice cold or anything, but they also, you know, had a wobble sort of around February that they didn't have last year. And yet, clearly that didn't matter because, you know, they have once again boosted their way into the Eastern Conference Finals. And, you know, they look like they might not be able to pull it out against the Sixers in the last series. And yet, here they are, you know, Jason Tatum with his ridiculous 51-point closeout game seven. And, yeah, this is a Celtics team that had a very interesting season sort of in comparison to last year, kind of a mirror season, but their playoff success has not been a mirror of what we saw last year. They're, you know, back in the Eastern Conference Finals once again.
Rightfully so. And I want to stay with the Boston Celtics for a moment. I don't know if you've noticed this, but in the first round series that they had against the Atlanta Hawks, it seemed as though there were times where they underestimated Trae Young, DeJounte Murray, and the Hawks. There were moments where Boston could have easily swept the series or they could have at least ended the series in five games. And it seems as though that they underestimated Philadelphia in moments in this series where they could have ended the series in at least six games, but they gave Joel Embiid, James Harden, and Tyrese Maxey a second win in this series. Do you think the Celtics have underestimated their opponents so far in this playoff run?
That's a good question. I would lean towards overall, no, they didn't. I think they, you know, they let Trae Young and DeJounte Murray get two games off them, but I thought the Hawks were going to get at least one game off the Celtics. So, you know, I'm not surprised that they dropped, you know, two rather than just one, but, you know, that series could have maybe been a bit easier than the Celtics made it on themselves. But, I mean, I think the Sixers series, they weren't, you know, taking their foot off the gas at all. That was more just the Sixers kind of fell apart those last two games rather than, you know, Boston sort of coasting through the beginning part and then, you know, picking up the pace just in time to make sure that they, you know, won that series over the Sixers. I think the Sixers just gave them a really tough battle up until basically the second half of Game 7.
All right, and I want to get back now to this rivalry between the Miami Heat and the Boston Celtics. Last year, the Celtics beat the Heat in a grueling seven-game series. And in 2020, the year in the bubble, the Heat would go on to beat the Celtics in a six-game series. In your opinion, Nick, what were the biggest differences between the Eastern Conference Finals in the bubble in 2020 and last year's Eastern Conference Finals between both teams?
I think that the sort of biggest difference, I mean, well, the big differences between the bubble series are kind of obvious, but I think a lot of it lies in sort of what you already mentioned, in that, you know, this was a sort of situation where, you know, ultimately this Celtics team, and well, the Celtics and the Heat both, you know, but the Celtics in particular in this case, you know, there wasn't really any taking your foot off the gas pedal in the bubble, right? There wasn't any, you know, after the game, you know, go hang out, party, you know, come back the next day, maybe not hungover, and then, you know, see what you can do. I mean, the bubble was a very interesting environment in the sense that it was literally all basketball, because that's basically all there was. And, you know, it's a different sort of situation when you have the ability to take your foot off the gas pedal in a way that it didn't really feel like any team was or could or wanted to in any sort of way in the bubble context.
All right, so now I got to ask you this, the moment of truth. Who wins the series and how many games and why?
I think the Celtics take the series in six. I think that Miami has had an absolutely incredible run to make it this far, and honestly, given that they've upset every team they've faced in a, you know, full seven-game series this playoffs, you know, they've lost fewer games in these playoffs so far than the Celtics have. So, you know, on the one hand, you know, I don't want to discredit Miami at all, and I don't mean to discredit them by choosing the Celtics in this series. I think that despite the fact that Joe Mazzulla is an excellent coach, I think Eric Spoelstra is either the best or the second best coach in the league right now. So I think, you know, the Heat have a clear coaching advantage in my mind. And, you know, I think that Bam Adebayo versus Al Horford, you know, as great as Al Horford has been this year, I think that's clear advantage Bam Adebayo. There are definitely ways that I could see Miami winning this series, but ultimately, I think the Celtics roster just has too much talent top to bottom. You know, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown is just going to be too much for the Heat to deal with. So, again, I'm, you know, I've been wrong on the Heat every prediction that I've given so far on the Robinson Show. So, clearly, if you're betting, you should bet against my Miami Heat predictions this playoffs. But I think the Celtics just have too much for them to handle in this series.
I want to stay just with this series for a moment. Who do you expect to be the impact players in this series?
So I think on the Miami side, this really would have – I mean, it's going to be Jimmy Butler's series if they win it, but Bam Adebayo is going to have to be X-Factor. He's going to have to take Al Horford to school on the one end. He's going to have to put up a masterclass performance on the defensive end, you know, protecting the rim from Tatum and Brown and Malcolm Brogdon and, you know, the rest of the roster trying to attack the basket. This is a situation where I think that Bam Adebayo has to have a spectacular series for the Heat to win. Even if Jimmy Butler plays great, I don't think he can do it entirely on his own. But for the Celtics side of things, you know, on the flip side, I think that, you know, Jason Tatum and Jimmy Butler are going to be, you know, sort of lined up across from each other for the most part. So I think Jaylen Brown, you know, it's one thing to say the second highest scorer on the team is going to be an X-Factor, which, you know, I also did from the Heat perspective. But, you know, the idea being here that I think that if Jaylen Brown has a spectacular series, this is a clear Celtics series for me. And if Bam Adebayo has a spectacular series, I think Miami has a shot to take this in seven or maybe even six. But I think, again, that's what it's going to require, just heroic performances from Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo, I think, will be needed if they end up on top in this one.
It should be an intriguing one. It was an intriguing series in the Eastern Conference Finals last year with the Celtics winning in seven, and then in the bubble in 2020, the Heat would go on to win in a six-game series. This should be a lot of fun between the Miami Heat and the Boston Celtics. Let's move over now to the Western Conference Finals, and this should be a great one between the Los Angeles Lakers and the Denver Nuggets. All right, Nick, first for the Lakers. The Lakers were really the winners of the trade deadline, and especially the second half of the NBA season right after the All-Star break. The Lakers acquired Rui Hachimura from the Washington Wizards. Also, they wind up getting D'Angelo Russell, also Jared Vanderbilt, Lonnie Walker. We're seeing the emergence of Austin Reeves and also Can't forget about Dennis Schroeder has played effectively, especially in the second half of the year. Anthony Davis got healthy at the right time. And, of course, who could forget about LBJ, LeBron James, right? And give a lot of credit to Jeannie Buss and also Rob Pelinka for making deals and making some tough decisions, letting go of Russell Westbrook and Patrick Beverly and the Lakers being in the play-in tournament, being successful, and now they're going to be in the Western Conference Finals. Give me your thoughts on the Lakers and their playoff run.
So, first of all, it is wild to think about that half of the conference finals teams are play-in teams. Yeah, that's just, you know, fun to think about from the perspective of all the people who were, yeah, granted these were seventh and eighth seeds, so they would have made the playoffs under the old format, but, you know, these are teams that, you know, got going before the playoffs started and have just kept on rolling, you know, so that's certainly something that I find quite fun. But with this Lakers team, I mean, you hit the nail on the head. They completely revamped this roster at the trade deadline, and this went team that looked like they very well might, you know, miss the play-in to, you know, being the team that ultimately ended up seventh, you know, quickly made their way out of the play-in into the, you know, actual full-on playoffs. And since then, you know, they took down the Grizzlies in round one, you know, seventh seed upsetting the two seed. Then, you know, next series, they took out the defending champion Golden State Warriors. So this Lakers team has had quite a spectacular run in the playoffs, but really this is a run that started with the moves that, you know, they made around the trade deadline. I mean, this is a team that entered the All-Star break 27-32 and finished the year at 43-39. You know, go from well below 500 to, you know, four games above 500 is not bad in the very short stretch of games that we have between the All-Star break and the end of the regular season. And, you know, I think the biggest pickup for them was Jared Vanderbilt. He's just filled so many gaps for this Lakers team on both ends, but particularly on the defensive end of the floor, he's been massive for them. You know, Malik Beasley, his shot has come and gone, but he has provided, you know, serious floor spacing for them, which they've very much needed. And then the playoff run itself has been very interesting because Anthony Davis has been spectacular. He's been, you know, the leading scorer for the Lakers. LeBron has had a few just absolutely eye-popping performances, you know. And then there have been a few other Lakers just sort of chipping in. And Lonnie Walker, you know, had a fourth quarter to remember, you know, put up 15 points against the Warriors, closed out that game four. You know, that was a huge boost for them. You know, D'Angelo Russell, he certainly struggled earlier this season for the Timberwolves, but really seems like he's once again found a home in Los Angeles after, you know, starting his career there after being the number two overall pick by the Lakers. This is a very interesting Lakers squad that completely changed the entirety of their trajectory at the trade deadline. And, you know, they went from a team that very easily could not have even made the play-in to a team that pretty comfortably made the play-in and is now here in the Western Conference Finals after having toppled the two seed and the defending champion in succession.
I'm going to get more into the Lakers in just a moment, but I want to talk now about the Denver Nuggets. I've said it before, and I'll say it again, Nick. The Denver Nuggets are the number one seed in the Western Conference, but they have been underrated and they have been unappreciated really all season long. We have to start off with Jamal Murray. I mean, Jamal is really coming back to his full form, coming back into the Jamal Murray that we've all known and loved for quite some time. Aaron Gordon, you know what Aaron brings to the table. He plays above the rim. Also, the supporting cast has played well with KCP, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. Also, you can put Christian Braun, who's been a nice draft pick for the Nuggets. And, of course, who could forget about the two-time league MVP, Nikola Jokic. He's a center, but he plays more like a point center. 6'11 with handles like a guy that's 6'1. And of course, kudos to the head coach, Michael Malone, on another solid year for the Nuggets. Give me your thoughts on Denver and their playoff run so far.
So this has been an interesting one for Denver because, you know, for the last few years, you know, since Nikola Jokic sort of took the full-time starting spot, you know, since 2018-19, they've been a team that, you know, finished pretty decently during the regular season and then had playoff series where Yeah, I mean, Jamal Murray's bubble performances, you know, still I think the best basketball that he's played in his NBA career. But, you know, outside of that, ultimately most of the playoff series the Nuggets have been in the past few years have been Nikola Jokic putting up absolutely heroic performances that just weren't enough. They just, you know, didn't have enough around him. And this year is clearly different. I mean, you know, they're back in the Western Conference Finals. You know, they were there in the bubble, but, you know, they're back there for the first time since. And, you know, they were the number one seed in the Western Conference. They were at the top of the conference pretty much the entire season. And they, you know, won their first two series pretty comfortably and, you know, won in six games against the Phoenix Suns, who are my title favorites heading into the playoffs. So, you know, they've had a very impressive playoff run so far. And, of course, Nikola Jokic is, you know, the head of the snake on that one, having once again a spectacular playoff. It shouldn't be surprising at this point, but, you know, it still is incredible to see him do what he does out there. You know, you mentioned Aaron Gordon. He's been huge, I think, for this Nuggets team. He's just, you know, again, very similar sort of situation where he filled a lot of gaps for them, you know, especially on the defensive end to sort of make the rest of this roster work. And, you know, this is a team that just plays good enough defense. They were exactly 15th in the NBA in defensive rating in the regular season. So at average defensively, top five offensively, you know, winning basically on the backs of what Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray can do running the offense. And, you know, this year, unlike the, you know, hard-fought battles that they've had in previous playoffs, you know, this year they've only lost three games so far, and they're going into the conference finals against the Lakers, you know, looking as good as they've looked all year, and it'll be very interesting to see how those two teams match up. But in terms of the playoff run so far, I mean, Denver's the most, you know, it's funny because they've had a similar run to the Heat in terms of, you know, only losing three games so far, but, you know, the Heat have been underdogs in every series, whereas the Nuggets, it felt like, even in the Suns series, that, you know, by games five and six, it was pretty clear that Denver was the better team. And, you know, that's the kind of dominance and sort of being the favorite that the Nuggets have not been up to this point in the Nikola Jokic, Michael Malone era.
All right. And we're going to get more into the impact players in this series in just a moment. I want to talk about the coaches for a moment. Michael Malone, as I mentioned earlier, again, another solid job this season with the Denver Nuggets. And Darvin Ham, an interesting first year for him with the Los Angeles Lakers. You talk about a roller coaster ride. First half of the year, it just was a team in turmoil. But after the All-Star break and the trade deadline, the second half of the year, Darvin was able to get the right roster intact. Of course, thanks to the healthy Davis and LeBron James, they're able to put the pieces together and just make a strong run so far in the playoffs. Just give me your thoughts on Darvin Ham and Michael Malone.
So starting with Michael Malone, he, you know, I'm pretty familiar with him as a coach, being he was the coach of the Sacramento Kings before he went to the Nuggets. And, you know, he, credit to him, I mean, he, I think, should have gotten a longer leash than he got in Sacramento. And he went to Denver and, you know, pretty quickly got that team from a team that was, you know, a 30-win team the season before he showed up, just steady improvements, you know, from there. 10th seed in the West, 9th seed in the West, 9th seed in the West with 46 and 36 that year, 2017-18. And then in the playoffs, pretty comfortably ever since. You know, Michael Malone has done an awesome job running the Nuggets basically since, you know, he showed up on the job day one. And, you know, on the other side of things, it's very interesting because Michael Malone is, at this point, I believe, the third longest tenured head coach in the NBA, and Darvin Ham started this year. And yet here we are in the Western Conference, same exact situation in the Eastern Conference, where we've got rookie coach in Joe Mazzulla against, you know, one of the longest tenured coaches in the league in Eric Spoelstra. But going back to Darvin Ham's side of this, I mean, credit to him as well for the incredible turnaround that the Lakers had after the trade deadline. You know, it's one thing to make all those moves and, you know, ship out talent that wasn't necessarily fitting with the roster and, you know, getting in guys who fit better with what the team is trying to do. It's another thing entirely to implement that in practice, to get everybody to buy in and to, you know, turn a team that looked like it was pretty clearly headed for the lottery back around, you know, turn the ship back around, get them into the playoffs, and then, you know, coaching wins against two very good teams with very good head coaches in the Memphis Grizzlies and the Golden State Warriors. You know, Darvin Ham has had a spectacular run as a coach this season, and also, you know, he has not shied away from the spotlight at all. In his first playoffs, he's more than lived up to the pressure on the coaching side. So definitely a fun coaching battle.
Indeed, it's a fun coaching battle. It's going to be a fun one between these two in this great series. Nikola Jokic was outstanding in the last series with the Nuggets beating the Phoenix Suns in a six-game series. Jokic manhandled not only Kevin Durant, but also DeAndre Ayton. I don't know. I don't think he's going to be able to manhandle LeBron James and certainly not Anthony Davis in this series. How do you like the matchup with the Joker going up against AD and LeBron?
It'll be interesting. I mean, Anthony Davis has had a ridiculous playoff, you know, on both ends of the floor, but particularly defensively, he's been absolutely insane, just turning back shots left and right, just, you know, absolutely locking down the paint for the Lakers defensively. It'll be very interesting because, you know, definitely Nikola Jokic is tougher than, you know, a number of guys that Anthony Davis had to deal with down low so far in these playoffs. I mean, you know, credit to Kevon Looney, who had an absolutely wonderful playoff run for the Golden State Warriors. But, you know, Kevon Looney is not Anthony Davis. And, you know, the combination of Anthony Davis and LeBron on Jokic, it's going to be a fascinating watch. But the thing about Jokic, too, is that he's someone who has counters for your counters. You know, he's someone who, if you're fronting him and double-teaming him in the post, he will make the open pass every time. You know, if you give him space from beyond the three-point line, he's more than happy to pull up and, you know, knock one down in your face. So he's a very difficult cover, but, you know, honestly, Anthony Davis is one of the best defensive players in the world most of the time, but especially right now, given the hot streak he's on, that's definitely going to be matchup determining the series between Davis and Nikola Jokic. And then with LeBron, you know, I don't expect him to be guarding Jokic very much one-on-one directly, but when those two are, you know, paired off in a mismatch or something, LeBron is definitely not going to want to give that up to Nikola Jokic. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, when those two get sort of cross-matched on each other, but I think the Anthony Davis Nikola Jokic matchup could be, you know, one of the best center matchups we've seen in a very long time, and I think both of those guys will have great performances, and ultimately it'll just come down to who has the best one between them.
I'm looking forward to the Joker and AD blocking head-to-head. This is going to be so much fun. And the last time that the Lakers and the Nuggets met in the Western Conference Finals was in the bubble in 2020. The Lakers would go on to beat the Nuggets to win the series in five games. And, of course, the Lakers would go on to play the Miami Heat and would win the NBA championship in the year of the bubble. What do you think is going to be the differences between the series that was in the bubble and this series between the Lakers and the Nuggets?
So I think the biggest factor is going to just be the fact that this is a very different, very, very different Lakers team than the one that we, you know, saw previously. I mean, this is a very different Lakers team than the one we saw in January, right? Much less the one we saw in 2020. So it'll be very interesting to see, you know, how the rest of the Lakers squad sort of performs around the twin sons of LeBron James and Anthony Davis, because around them, this is basically pretty much entirely fresh faces. Whereas, you know, on the Nuggets side of things, I mean, the key guys are still the key guys, right? You know, Aaron Gordon was a huge addition for this team, but ultimately Nikola Jokic, Jamal Murray, Michael Porter Jr. have been, you know, sort of the key guys on this squad, you know, even going back to that bubble run. So, you know, it'll be fascinating to sort of see how that turns out. But I think ultimately the biggest factor here is the Lakers have a completely different roster than the one they had before.
All right, solid. And now the moment of truth. All right, Nick, so we've talked about the impact players in this series. We talked about the coaches. We talked about their last matchup in the bubble. All right, who wins the series and how many games and why?
I think the Nuggets take it in six. I think that if I had to guess which of these series is more likely to go seven or which of these series is more likely to end in an upset, I think that I would probably say the Lakers have a better chance at upsetting the Nuggets than the Heat have at upsetting the Celtics. But And I mean, this Nuggets roster is just so deep, and you know, their offense just hums like an absolutely well-oiled machine. And the Lakers have had an incredible playoffs and an incredible playoff run. But if I'm going to bet on a team here, I'm going to go with the Nuggets, and I'm going to say 6 instead of 7. I think this is more likely to run long than the other series, but I think ultimately Denver comes out on top.
All right, solid. And we talked about big matchups in the Heat and Celtics series. Which matchups do we need to watch out for in the Lakers and Nuggets series? We already talked about Nikola Jokic versus Anthony Davis, but what are other matchups that we need to look out for in this series?
So I think the other big matchup here is I'm guessing that Aaron Gordon is going to get the majority of the defensive assignment on LeBron. So, you know, Aaron Gordon versus LeBron is, I think, going to be a critical matchup here. And then, you know, sort of in terms of other things, I think the X factors here to watch for both teams, if either Michael Porter Jr. or D'Angelo Russell can get really hot, both of those guys are guys who have proven that they can take over a game when they're locked in offensively. And I think if, you know, D'Angelo Russell or Michael Porter Jr. plays their best, they could easily have a game in the series that's just their game. And, you know, if D'Angelo Russell steals a game from this Nuggets team, then all of a sudden what I thought would be, you know, a 6-game series turns out to a, you know, game 7 kind of situation where anything could happen. So I think that D'Angelo and Michael Porter Jr. have the potential to be key X factors in the series, but the other matchup besides the center matchup that I'm really keyed in on is the LeBron James Aaron Gordon matchup.
All right, solid. And you heard it from him. He is Nick Agar Johnson. Of course, he is the editor in chief, and he's also a writer for No Ceilings NBA, host of the No Ceilings NBA Deep Dives podcast, and a writer for Hashtag Basketball and Nets Republic. Nick, as always, again, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us on the program. Just tell everybody what's currently going on over at No Ceilings, also Hashtag Basketball and Nets Republic.
Absolutely. So in terms of my stuff, you can find me on Twitter at NBA Johnson for Hashtag Basketball, #basketball on socials, and #basketball.com. Nets Republic on socials and netsrepublic.com. And, you know, tons of stuff surrounding the NBA draft, which is, you know, coming up. So it's a really exciting time ahead, and I can't wait to cover all the draft stuff to come.
Absolutely. Tell everybody where they can find you on social media, any websites, let the listeners know that as well.
Sure. So again, No Ceilings NBA, NoCeilingsNBA.com. Check it out, subscribe. You can get the newsletter in your inbox every morning. And Hashtag Basketball at #basketball on social, #basketball.com, and Nets Republic, NetsRepublic.com, and at Nets Republic on social.
You heard it from Nick Agar Johnson, host of the No Ceilings NBA Deep Dives podcast, also editor-in-chief and writer for No Ceilings NBA, and a writer for Hashtag Basketball and Nets Republic. Nick, as always, thank you so much once again for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us on the program. And if ever you want to come back on, just feel free to let us know.
Absolutely, Ed. Thank you so much for having me on.
Same here. You got it, my man. We'll be back with more right after this.
Modern life is noisy. Noise is everywhere. Excessive noise is harmful, linked to sleep deprivation, hearing loss, and heart disease. Should noise be the price we pay for progress? Actually, no. Many noise sources have quieter options. Gas-powered landscaping equipment is obsolete, with battery-powered options greatly reducing noise and air pollution. Audible car alarms are obsolete, with vehicle immobilizers and GPS tracking providing silent anti-theft technologies. Quieter backup warning sounds are available, and adjustable directional sounds are less intrusive. So what can you do to reduce noise levels? Talk to store and building managers about safe sound levels. Work with elected officials and the police to strengthen noise enforcement. Join Noise Free America, a coalition to promote quiet.
Everybody, that's going to do it for another exciting edition of The Robinson Show. Once again, a big special thank you to Nick Agar Johnson, host of the No Ceilings NBA Deep Dives podcast
and editor-in-chief and writer for No Ceilings NBA and writer for Hashtag Basketball and Nets Republic. Thanks again to him for coming on the program as we preview the 2023 Eastern Conference Finals and Western Conference Finals matchups. Until next time, everybody, remember, put God first in everything you do, and you can't go wrong. Until next time, stick to the script. I'm out. Peace.